Michael Shaul is chairman, CEO, and founding partner of Market Field Asset Management. He joins us now from our studios here in New York. Always a pleasure, Michael. Talk to me about why the market, particularly in the foreign exchange, seemed to be caught by surprise. I mean, look at the way in which the dollar fell after this Fed announcement. Did they get it so wrong? Was there something here that the Fed said that the market hadn't been anticipating?
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, I think the Fed made the bare minimum of changes to its text, and I think most of us have been expecting to see balance sheet reductions start in September and the next hike in December, and certainly the text was in line with that. I think that when markets do things for no reasons, sometimes it's even more interesting. So, I mean, I think that perhaps there were trades which were waiting to be done and people wanted the Fed statement out of the way before they did it. But the two things which were, you know, certainly very obvious in the last couple of hours of trading today was the weakness of the U.S. dollar, as you said, and also side by side of that, the strength of emerging market equities. I mean, emerging market equities were up partly. Most of the markets were closed, so most of it was a reflection of currency moves. But it would seem that there were people willing to sell the dollar, waiting for the Fed to get out of the way, and side by side, people waiting to buy emerging market equities. And both these trends obviously have been, you know, well established year to date. The dollar's having its worst start of the year since 2002.
So are you also taking the view that the lack of the word recently when it comes to price trends indicates that officials may see the dip in inflation as longer lasting?
No, not really. I mean, I think they mess around with their text, you know, according to the incoming data. No, I actually am of the view that the Fed is paying rather less attention to blips in economic data than it has been for the last few years. I think it does believe that the weakness of inflation is transitory, and I actually agree with them.
Which is to say, though, that, I mean, we could see higher inflation if the trend in the dollar continues. I mean,
yes, I think that's one of the major deflationary influences of the last few years has been dollar strength, and that is going away. Another one which nobody really thinks about much is food prices. Global food prices and U.S. food prices have been very deflationary since 2011. Again, some evidence that that's going away. And, you know, I think the Fed is still I still has a decent chance of meeting its 2% target end of this year, beginning of next year.
Let's continue discussing what the Fed is doing. I just wonder, given that the deadline for raising the government's debt ceiling is coming up, how will that complicate the Fed's plans?
Well, I mean, I probably assume that some sort of a deal will be done. I mean, I certainly haven't heard the term fiscal cliff used, this time around. You know, as I say, I think the Fed is of a mind that unless something shocking happens, they do want to start reducing their balance sheet this year, and my guess is that means September. And they really do want to get in another rate hike, you know, at some point towards the end of the year. Again, probably December. And it's going to take a lot, I think, to shift them off that path.
We were talking earlier about dollar weakness and how it's creating opportunity in EM. You're certainly a fan of EM.
Yes.
Is this something that we kind of have to rethink? I mean, typically we think of emerging markets to be or as being more commodity-based trades. I mean, and we are not accustomed to thinking of it necessarily as being a tech play.
No, I mean, it's oddly enough, it's almost like the end of the 1990s when telecom became a huge play globally and emerging markets were a huge beneficiary of that. You know, this time around, technology now is the biggest sector for the MSCI Emerging Market Index. It is the tech sector which has really substantially outperformed the rest of the complex. And EM, I would argue, is a more efficient way to play global technology than the S&P 500. So, you know, right now, EM has a weak dollar going for it, or strong EM currencies going for it, a very strong technology sector embedded within emerging markets. And to us, a resurgent domestic Chinese economy, which is helping EM trade into China. It's a powerful combination.
Does it worry you that if we see a reversal in this dollar weakness, EMs could get very badly affected? I mean, when it comes to dollar weakness, the euro accounts for most of it, isn't it? The euro appreciated so much, it accounts for, around 40% of the dollar basket. So if we get any weakness in the euro, that could also translate to dollar strength. And what would that mean for emerging markets?
Well, clearly, if you saw a big backup by the dollar, it would look a little bit like that post-election period where EM lagged badly and US assets, you know, outperformed. But there is a dominant trend here, and it's beyond the euro. You know, emerging market currencies themselves, you know, got very weak by the middle of 2016 and again post-election. And to us, I think it's legitimate to expect a multi-quarter, maybe even multi-year period of strength here. You know, we think that EM currencies still look undervalued in many cases on a historical basis. And there is further upside, almost regardless of what the dollar-euro rate does.
So if you're looking at a developed market to play in tandem with EM, would it be South Korea? And, you know,
I call that EM. I mean, I know it's like the developed end of EM, but it would still be in the index. you know, I actually think that Japan is fairly well placed and has quietly caught up with other developed markets. It badly lagged in the first quarter, but has had a really, you know, pretty good second quarter. And as I say, we believe that Chinese demand for goods and services has become an important global driver again. So, you know, Japan is fairly well connected to that domestic Chinese economy still.
Does it worry you that Prime Minister Abe's popularity is sinking, and what could that mean from the political risk perspective?
Well, I mean, we have a pretty unpopular president here and an S&P at an all-time high. So not particularly. As I say, I think the heavy lifting that Abe had to do early in his term, I think has largely been done. And I think we will now see whether or not the Japanese domestic economy is in a sustainable growth path.
But wouldn't you think political risks could also mean Japanese yen strength, and that the correlation with strong yen and just falling equities is so big?
Well, you know, this year the yen is slightly stronger than it was at the beginning of the year. The Nikkei is somewhat higher. Again, I do believe that the Nikkei is somewhat desensitized to a stronger yen, as long as we're talking about modest strengthening.